Welcome, everyone, to the No Filter Sports Podcast. We are recording on Monday, June 17th, 2019. We will be back here again on Thursday. And today we do start on the iHeart Network, but you don't have to worry about that, you podcast listeners. We're going to be on the iHeart Network on DFN and here
you need
in
to explain that a little bit better than what you just did.
Okay. We're going to take our podcast and we're going to give it to iHeartRadio to play tomorrow morning, as we will give Thursday's show to play Friday morning on WDFN in Detroit and WCWA in Toledo. That's to get more listeners to our podcast. We need more downloads. We're so thankful to all of you. We're up near 10,000.
That's not true. They're clamoring for it. They're demanding this show because it's a great show. It's not a ploy by us to, quote, get more listeners. Everybody wants to hear this show.
What we are trying to do is make it easier.
No.
What we're trying to do is make it easier for our fans who may be a little tested.
No, you're wrong there.
Trying to find the website. And this way, they can go to WDFN and get on quickly.
You're wrong. Because our fans don't need this to be on radio. They're already getting the podcast. The point is to let people who aren't aware that we exist hear us on radio and then download the podcast. By the way, I'm Eli Zarrett. That's Denny McClain. And Bob Page always has something to grind about before we even start the damn show.
And it's always easier to find a WDFN than it would be the podcast. That's what I'm trying to say.
What I don't know what you're trying to say, but in any
majority
case.
Of the majority of the population out there understands what a radio channel is versus a podcast channel.
But the people who are listening to us already listening to the pod. Should we start this show again?
No, we're not starting anything over.
Because we could do a
going.
Retake.
We're on a roll right now.
I think that should be the motto of our show and be up on our website.
Yeah.
Eli to Denny. I don't understand what you're trying to say.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of the listeners don't either. That's why we have to sometimes
Well, I bet you they understand more of what I'm saying than they understand what you're saying.
Here's what I don't get.
Okay.
I don't get why Mother's Day is this.
What a segue this is.
This reverential... This bow down, this is luncheons and dresses and poems and jewelry and gifts and bracelets and hearts. And what's Father's Day? I get a call from my daughter. I don't get a card. It's like, oh, that's right, Dad. Get him a tie. You know, let's recognize him somehow. So why is Mother's Day such this reverential American holiday and Father's Day is, eh.
I'll tell you real quick. Hallmark. Who invents all these special days, right?
Oh, yeah.
We first started with Mother's Day, and so they solidified Mother's Day over many, many years, and then decided, listen, boy, we've been so successful with Mother's Day, let's do Daddy's Day.
But also with Mother's Day, they sell jewelry, so the jewelry, that's it, I get it now. Right. It's all commerce.
Yeah, and lobster.
I don't know about you boys, but I get bracelets, and I get dresses, and I get fancy jewelry, and I'm a father, too.
You are a father, I'm surprised.
I have another.
Is that before you went the other way? Okay. Great. A lot to talk about today, including Gibby predicting that the Tigers are going to be turned into the Houston Astros. We've got the Raptors. Victory Parade is, by the way, today. We're going to talk about the Warriors and what's going to happen with Clay Thomas, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis trade, et cetera, et cetera. However, let's talk about the lead story in America, the very thrilling U.S. Open. Gary Woodland been around a long time. He's 35 years old. Great ball striker, but really had problems with his short game. Well, this week, his short game was unmatchable, and what a gutsy performance with Brooks Koepka nipping at his heels.
I'll tell you what surprised me. I played a lot of golf in my life, and I have followed the game relatively closely, although the last 10 years, because of my legs and what have you, I haven't been able to play much, so I haven't been following the stars of the game. And he certainly wasn't a star. He was one of the great players.
He's won three tournaments. Yeah.
Well, here's the kicker. The guy's been around, what, 10, 12, 15 years?
Yeah.
He's won $24 million, and he's only won three tournaments, plus, of course, yesterday. Listen, I have never seen anybody strike the ball so consistently hard, and I mean, he sends rockets out there.
That three wood, number 14, where he could have laid up. He was up by two strokes. 249 to clear this huge bunker up the hill, 263 to the pin. He hits a perfect shot.
How about the three iron? He hit 249 or 250 yards.
Yeah.
If this guy were actually playing a real sport, you know what you'd say, and I'm serious about this. Okay. As you just mentioned, here's a guy who's done very little in his career. At age 35, he pulls this amazing performance out of his butt. Did a great job.
Wait
in a sport, you'd say, this guy's taking roids.
very little in his career. He's one of the top 20 in the world out of the billion people that play golf.
Now
he
is.
This is the problem with fans, and I'm calling you a fan of golf here, because you know better than that, Bob, to say he's done very little. He's won three tournament victories.
What were those tournaments?
He's top 20 in the world. You know what it is to be top 20 in the world?
Oh, my God. Because he's been playing well lately. You would say this guy's on roids. Of course he isn't. I don't believe that for a minute. But what a bizarre game it is where you can go along for 15 years in your prime, accomplish very little on the PGA Tour, and then win the U.S. Open.
You know what that's like saying? You've only hit 290. You've never won a batting title. You've only hit 30 homers. You've never
won. Then at age 35, you suddenly won. You're on roids, buddy.
Well, I'm going to support Bob for just a second. Just a second. A little piece of pie here for Bob. Woodland, his best finish at the U.S. Open is in 2011, he finished 23rd. So, I mean, he's not exactly, you know, the Arnold Palmer of our time.
He's not Rory. Okay.
But he had 4 days that were sensational. Can't you look at it like that?
You know what
I compare it to? Yeah. Who's a guy that threw the no-hitter for the Tigers but didn't throw the no-hitter?
Armando Galarraga.
Yeah, okay, that's who he is.
No.
Yeah. He had one of those days.
I'm sorry. I don't want to say stupid.
No, it's dumb. You're stupid and I'm dumb.
That's a stupid analogy to take a scrub pitcher who probably won 10 games and compare it to Gary Woodland. Anyway, wait.
Don't just say anyway and move on. You're calling both of us stupid here, and we're calling you stupid.
No.
Because this guy might not ever win another tournament. Now, he could. We don't know what's going to happen. I'm just saying it's weird that this whole thing is weird. And when they played at Pebble Beach, you got all those people out there. They're down on the beach, and their doggies are playing with their tennis balls. They're walking back. It's kind of disconcerting. They're not paying any attention to what's going on 10 feet above them.
Great point about disconcerting, because I want you to hear this. Now, after the 16th hole, when he birdied, after that 249-yard three-wood over the trap.
Incredible shot. Unbelievable.
Okay? So he's going to the 17th tee. He's got a two-shot lead. Kepka's on 18 where he had a very good chance to birdie. And so I'm putting myself in his shoes. He's got this 210-yard shot to reach the 17th green. And listen to the background, including a guy saying, "You're going to lose, Gary," before it'll follow his incredible chip on number 17 from the other side of the green, like a 40-yard chip that skidded 2 feet away. Listen to what he heard as he walked to number 17.
"We got this, Gary. You got it. Close it out, Gary.
Get it
down,
buddy.
Let's go, Gary.
Sounded great. Oh, look at the shot.
All right, so there he is. The guy's, "You're going to lose, Gary." And then he goes on
to
win the tournament.
So what? Like, what? If you ask Denny McClain what the worst things that were ever called him or any other baseball player in his career, you're going to lose, Denny? Give me a break.
Well, golf is a little bit different.
Oh, we have to be quiet now. Reggie Jackson said, back the World Series. Bottom of the ninth.
I know.
One or two other things about
it. But what a wimp-ass sport this is, if it is a sport.
Oh, no, it is. It is a sport. Woodland, by the way, was a four-year letterman in high school. He was a hell of a guard in high school, and was all everything. But he said, "I noticed one thing when I got to college. Everybody else was two steps faster than I was. I had to settle on something else." Yeah. He just started playing golf, and now look at now. He's $25 million ahead.
These people are walking on the beach, and I'm thinking to myself, it must cost a lot of money to buy a gallery ticket to see this. How come nobody just walks up?
Why don't
you just walk up? And then
they can't.
And then later,
Yes, they can.
Oh, and then
they can what? They can what, Bob?
They can't scale the cliffs and walk up.
It's not too high. There are plenty of places when they show the coastline where
they can walk up. What does that matter at all? There were hundreds of thousands of people there in the gallery.
So then on the 10th hole,
Bob, hang on, Bob. One second.
Never been so angry,
Bob,
during the show.
You've
so
never
angry.
Had me so screwed up in my
so
life
angry.
As I am right now. What the hell are you trying to say?
What are you trying to talk about? So there's people on the beach. Listen, you got the greatest golfers in the world playing in the most unique setting in the world as it's cut out from the ocean. So there's people that are on the beach all the time.
Wait a minute. I know who he's talking about. He's talking about that other TV show where they walk around naked trying to get through the elements.
Watch Survivor instead, Bob.
Right,
anyway.
So after a five-minute interim, I'm going to continue this story. On the 10th hole, on the 10th hole, some guy does walk up. At first, I thought he was like carrying a placard as part of the tournament, you know? He wasn't. This guy walks up off the beach. He's carrying a sign right in the middle of the U.S. Open, and the sign says, quote, LennonMurderTruth.com. Right on our TV screens, you did not see this.
No.
And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, he can't be talking about the Lennon sisters with Lawrence Welk. He's talking about John Lennon. And he's right in the middle of the TV screen because he just walked right up off the beach and he's holding this thing. Now, you're the conspiracy theorist here. You can go to see John Lennon, whatever it is, truth.com. I just thought it was – I thought it was weird. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you know, I mean,
you know what? A minute and a half of our show on that nonsense – it's just a waste of time, if you ask me.
It's some lunatic who just happened to get up on the golf course because he come up the side.
And one guy. And maybe it's the guy on the beach with the John 3:16 sign. You know, should we talk about him, too?
Him.
Okay. Watched also yesterday. Enjoyed.
I just was debunking your theory. That's all. That nobody can walk up.
Watching Women's World Cup yesterday.
God, are we – seriously?
Yes. You didn't watch that? It's
you didn't watch the soccer?
You were watching the Women's World Cup.
750,000 tickets sold.
You didn't watch the soccer?
No. Bob. I haven't seen a single thing.
Oh, my God. Oh my Bob, God. It's great competition. It is just terrific.
Well, they score goals. The girls score goals.
You should see our girls play. They are super athletic.
they really are.
Yeah. And this Carly Lloyd may be the greatest female soccer player in the world in the history of the game.
Oh, I don't know about that. She's not even the best.
She's unbelievable. Listen, she scored six in a row now of six playoff games so far. Nobody's ever done that before.
The World Cup. Well, you know, there's a lot of disparity in terms of the quality of the teams, like Thailand, which.
But that's not her fault.
No. But the one of the points is that the 13 goals they scored against Thailand will help them in case they tie Sweden, the other four team in their bracket. They will have a better seed going forward. Anyway,
and there's nothing wrong with that.
They're going to make the round of 16.
Did you think the celebration was a little bit over the top?
Well, the first time it was, and then yesterday they kind of did the little
the golf. That's a golf applause and. And there were a lot of hugs.
I wasn't aware of what that little clap was. What did they call it? They called it
a golf hug. It's a golf applause. That's what it is. It's golf.
Yeah.
That's what you do at golf. Okay. You do that. You know what I mean? But all these hugs. I don't like the hugs. Bob, I don't like the hugs. And I don't like first basemen putting their hands on the asses of the other team either. Those are two things I don't approve of.
We've established that there. Now, if you guys want to go back again, let me ask you both a question. Were you happy with the Fox coverage of the United States Open?
Okay.
All in all, yes. I think Azinger's good. I like Curtis Strange. I don't like Joe Buck, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, well, how the hell does Joe Buck get on there?
He's their lead announcer. I don't like Joe Buck. But
do you know who Joel Klatt even is?
Is he a football player?
This guy played football in Colorado. He tried to make it in baseball first, washed out after 2 years in the minors. Then the FLs in 2006 brought him into camp when he was down to Colorado. Yeah. And when the FLs tell you, you're not good enough to play here, son, you got a problem with that. He asked no tough questions. Why they put him in the spot, I don't know. And then after the third round, he's got Gary Woodland on. This is what he actually said to Gary Woodland. You know, is it going to be a little difficult not peeking out of your eye to see what's going on tomorrow with Justin Rose? Woodland looked at him like he was insane.
What does that mean? He's playing with Justin Rose.
Yeah, that's right. He said, I'm playing with Justin Rose. Klatt actually asked him that question. You see the one point where I think it was Azinger referred to a shank that somebody hit, Justin Rose?
Yeah, he did.
He says, well, there's a shank. We're not supposed to say that.
But Bob, who said you're not supposed to say that? You don't,
Bob, that is a bad word.
Can I explain, Bob? Because he doesn't play golf and he doesn't know.
I can see that.
Shank, it's been traditional. You don't talk about shanks because it can get in your head. That's like talking about a no-hitter.
It becomes just contagious.
Yeah, so there's nothing wrong with
this. So in other words, broadcasters shouldn't talk about no-hitters when one's in progress. That's ridiculous.
You're driving me crazy today.
You can't say shame on a broadcast.
He's not doing it that way. He's doing it as a golfer. It's what you'd say if you're playing with the guy. You say, you know, you go, shank. You don't say it. It's part of playing golf, Bob, so you don't get that. That went over your head, and a lot's going over your head
today. I don't think so, Eli. I've been around golf a long time. Just because I don't play it, instead I watch you flail around attempting to play it. That makes me smarter than you, doesn't it? Now, Denny was a hell of a golfer in his prime. And then who was the guy at the end of the thing? You can't tell sometimes who the commentators are. He said, the advice I'd give to Gary Woodland, this happened on 13, is I'd say to Gary, it's just me against Brooks and Justin.
Yeah, I like that comment.
They put their pants on the same way I
did. Yeah, I heard that.
That's just down-home stuff.
I was really disappointed in the Fox coverage. And I agree with you about Joe Buck. You can't be everything to all people, and he's just on too many events for Fox.
Anyway, summer is here. Time to enjoy fun and sun, and you're still stuck with those contacts, glasses, and those awful reading glasses. But Dr. Yaldo, our great Red Shovel sponsor, this is a show on the Red Shovel Network, will set you free. He's done 30,000 LASIK procedures, most of anybody in Michigan, has the most advanced technology in the entire world of eye surgery. Been a lot of misinformation about safety and the cost of LASIK. It is one of the safest of all medical procedures. His CATS Custom LASIK is the world's most precise, delivers amazing results like better than 20/20 vision in most cases, and his multifocal lens implants for people 45 plus lets you get rid of reading glasses for good, along with precision vision few could ever have hoped to experience. And cost, don't believe the $299 hype by the national chains. It does cost more than that, but with Dr. Yaldo, the discount that we give you from No Filter and Yaldo Eye Center financing, it is affordable for almost anybody. Just call 1-800-398-EYES. That's 800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. You going to do David Hall?
That is David Hall and Hall Financial. If you are thinking about refinancing your home, Hall Financial would love to save you tons of money. You can email David at dhall@hallfg.com. That's dhall@hallfg.com, or call Hall Financial at 248-308-5000. Maybe it's your first home or your dream home. Maybe you want to take money out of your home. Maybe David Hall has a chance to get you lower rates, and he will. He's got better options and more personal attention for you. The industry average, by the way, for refis is 44 days. But Hall Financial now averages about 19 days, only 19 days. Take it from the customers. They now have over 800 five-star reviews. They will even fight for you if you got a dent in your credit history or a big car crash. They'll fight. Email at dhall@hallfg.com. Or call 248-308-5000. That's 248-308-5000. I'm going to give you a car crash.
You mean a credit crash, not a car crash.
Or car crash, depending upon how you refer to it. And then tell them No Filter has sent you. By the way, I just want to let everybody
know. Thank you, David. I'm sure you understand.
David knows. David knows what I'm talking about. Car crash, credit crash. That's all the same thing.
All the same thing.
Listen, this coming Saturday, they're opening up a brand new, they're calling it the biggest little baseball museum hall of fame in Michigan. It's in Three Oaks, Michigan. I'm going to be there all day Saturday. And we're inviting everybody out there. There's going to be autographs from 10 to about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They're going to show lots of video from the 68 and 84 teams.
Uh-huh.
They're going to have all kinds of nice hot meals, lunch at noon, 12:30 for everybody.
Yeah, enough already.
And it's going to be a terrific time. Now, listen, just for the hell of it, let me just tell you why I'm going to promote this. For one reason. Number one, I gave out 340 cards the other day at the appearance I made Saturday. Okay?
Cards for what? For our podcast?
For our podcast. I think that's kind of valuable. If I hand out another 300 today, or Saturday, wouldn't that be nice?
That'd be great.
Okay.
That'd be great.
So quit bitching.
Hey, Eli, make a note of this, okay? How much does Denny owe us, the two of us, for that commercial he just read for himself? That was not part of our regular.
You still owe me $70 for dinner.
And by the way, there's
there wasn't. You were taking me.
By the way, there was no
video.
You.
I didn't say I was buying.
There was no video in 1968. Bob, you want to do? Would you give the number, please? Or do you know it by heart?
No, if they want to join the show, of course. You can just call us, as always, at 760-89-BALLS. You can email us, asknofilter@gmail.com. And you can tweet us as well. And that would be @EliZarrett, @MU2Denny, and at Bob Page Sports. So you want to do some of the mailbag stuff?
First,
I want to say
you are listening to the No Filter Sports Podcast. Go ahead. Give us one.
All right. So Francis Grunow is back. I'm not going to read this letter that he wrote, but I just say this. He is the chairman of the Arenas District in Detroit, where the Illichs have totally mucked up that entire project by refusing to build it up, as they promised. he's quoting an article in Crane's Detroit Business that Detroit has limited options to enforce the promises of District Detroit. So not necessarily true, but all I want to say is this, Francis, you and your people keep after Chris Illich. Keep after the Illich family, because Mike would have wanted that area built up as they promised.
Well, I did hear that they are going to finally come out with at least a timetable of what they are going to do, which they should have done earlier.
To begin with. But remember, they had a timetable to begin with. How'd that work out?
Well, we got to hear what the new timetable is.
Well, let me say this to you regarding Mike. Mike would not have accepted this. Mike would not have
just
accepted somebody.
No.
Right, but I want to say it plainly out there. Mike would have never gone around with waiting several years to build and put more buildings. He would not have waited. He would have done more for the fans in the city of Detroit. Mm-hmm. Not only that, and I'll take it one step further, we'd have had a competitive club on the field if Mike had been here. This thing right now is a debacle.
It is. And here's a letter from Brian. Tigers are 54-104 since last season's high watermark. Clearly, Al Avila needs to go along with most of his staff. Please let us fans know if you agree. Please spearhead a campaign to get Mark Cuban to buy the Tigers. It was reported he was interested in buying the Pirates several years ago. Thanks, Brian. Well, you know, they're actually on a pace this year to go 60-102 after losing 98 games the last 2 years. But before we talk about the fact that over the weekend they lost to Cleveland by a combined score of 25-6, a 13-4, 8-0, a 4-2, and then 8-0 yesterday. But, you know, the Astros are kind of the icon, the rebuilding icon team. They lost all those games in a row in 2011, 12, and 13.
Silly.
Here's what Gibby had to say in terms of the company line yesterday.
Houston lost 110 games, but 3 years in a row. And they've certainly been good since then. So stay patient and trust the process, and we'll weed our way through to better times. Is that what you wanted to hear? I know.
That's exactly what I wanted to hear. I just didn't want to hear the 110 losses.
All right, so he's saying, trust the process. Will be
as an employee of the Detroit Tigers,
yes,
who wants to keep his job. That's what he's saying, which is why I never, ever like to have play-by-play guys or color commentators for teams on the air, because they're not going to tell you the truth.
Right.
As you said, Eli, they're just going to parrot the company line.
That's the job. Now, in fairness, I worked for the Pistons from 05 to 11.
And you worked with Gibby.
No, and I worked with Gibby before that, yes, but I parroted the company line. The point is, if you're going to take the paycheck and take the job, you have to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, there isn't an analysis here because, yes, the Astros lost 106, 107, and 111 from 2011 to 13. They did get three number one draft choices, okay? They got George Springer, star, Carlos Correa, star, and Alex Bregman as number one picks. But everybody else, their pitching staff, Verlander, trade. Garrett Cole, free agent. Wade Miley, free agent. Brad Peacock, trade. Josh Reddick, free agent. Their first baseman, Yuri Gurriel, made his major league debut at 32. They picked him up as an amateur free agent. So it takes a lot more than just losing and getting draft picks.
Nobody develops organizations like they used to. Nobody leaves people in the minor leagues now for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years in the minor leagues. You go out and you buy a team. You go out and find the key players. What do you want to build it around? The shortstop? The catcher? The outfield, what do you want to build it around? That's when you start building your ball club. Number one, you never go around anything other than pitching. Pitching is what it's all about. Start there and then go from there.
Well, good point.
Gentlemen, the quote is little league stuff. And who said that?
That's what it is.
That came from the Tigers bench coach, Steve Little, after Saturday. Now, Danny McLain used to be a pretty fair right-handed pitcher in the big league, so he knows that if you have a runner on third, you got to at least look up at him. How can a runner on third steal home base clean, home plate cleanly, with a right-hander going? What happened was Alcantara was on the mound. Mm-hmm. He didn't check him. Mm. So the former Tiger steals home on Saturday, and that leads Little to say after, that's little league stuff.
And you know,
you got to look up and check the runner on third.
Leonis Martin was a guy that they got for very little a few years ago. He had
a good
year. He had a very good year. So what they do? They got rid of him for, I don't know what they got for Leonis Martin. You can check it out. I was going to do
that. So here's the thing. All we've heard about from day one with Gardy is that he's going to bring his great pitching coach with him, Rick Anderson. Been with him a long time and stuff. We're in the almost the middle of the season, plus spring training. Rick Anderson never noticed that his right-handed reliever wasn't looking up to check a guy on third base. This lack of fundamentals, we've railed about this. Are they not teaching these kids? Is Gardenhire to blame? Rick Anderson to
blame? Of course. Wait a minute. Of course Gardenhire is to blame. He, of course, is to blame. He's the guy that's supposed to be, first of all, he shouldn't be put in that position. But now that he is, he needs to step up and do what is supposed to be right. Yeah. Send these guys back to the minor leagues. Can you find somebody else who can at least play baseball and you do not have to work with them fundamentally? That's what's going on there. They're trying to figure out fundamental baseball. When your own coach says this is unacceptable and Little League baseball, boys, there's something wrong. And this isn't only inherent in the organization at the big league level. Mm. It's all over the organization.
Well, now, Gardy also said we didn't pitch or catch the game that Top Bob was referring to, where Martin stole home. Also, in that game, twice in the week, in the last week, Nick Castellanos has not been charged with an error.
Oh.
He didn't call off the infielders in the short fly ball that enabled the Royals to score the winning run last week. And his adventure twisting around, not catching a fly ball yesterday was hilarious. Now, actually, it's also on Saturday. And you know what? Who's the official scorer? He didn't call either of those errors. You know, I was thinking, well, is it because you have to touch a ball for it to be an error? No, I looked it up in the damn rule book.
Yep.
It's not necessary that the fielder touch the ball to be charged with an error.
No, it's not.
A ground ball goes through his legs or a fly ball goes untouched.
There's a history of this stuff. When you and I were coming up, and Denny knew him well, for some reason they chose to make the editor of the Polish News in Hamtramck, the late Ed Brawalski, official scorer. One night, there was a ground ball hit routine right at Tramp. It goes between Tramp's legs. I've played this deliberately on Channel 7. Brawalski, Jim Campbell, we're all watching in the press room. I said, an official scorer, Ed Brawalski, somehow called this a base hit. We had a guy in New York who scored the Yankees game. It's a writer named Red Foley. Remember Red?
Yeah, I remember Red.
Other than Brawalski, the worst official scorer I've ever seen in my life.
He was a homer.
Most of them are.
You know who wasn't? Yeah. Brian Bragg wasn't bad. But he would go into the locker room every now and then. The players would bitch him out for calling an error. Richie Shook was one.
Remember why they were homers? Because they got $150 a game, $150 a game to keep score. They were the official scorer. So why give up $150 a night?
Well, you're supposed to be paid to do a good job of it. The problem is they would then go into the locker room to do a story.
And kiss the asses of the players.
If they called an error that was questionable, the player wouldn't talk to him.
Right.
So that's the problem of being an official scorer.
By the way,
you mentioned Nick, and this was a big story a few days ago. It was in the Detroit News that he does not want to move to first base until the Tigers give him a contract extension. So you ask yourself, how can a young man of, 27, be making $10 million a year to play baseball and be unhappy? And yet, you know what? He doesn't want to be embarrassed out there. You know, they made him play third base. He's a natural shortstop. He wasn't great. They moved him to right field. That was worse. He's embarrassing himself. And now how do you think he's going to play defensively at first base? I don't blame Nick.
He can't play a position. That's his problem. You know, I think the wish he should have is that he was already 32 years old and he could be a DH for the next 5 or 6 years. That's not going to happen because he's a young man. I don't know what you do with him. He's making a lot of money, but he can't really play the game as far as the leather goes. He cannot make that transition for some reason. Everybody's worked with him from K-line on down, and nobody.
He's been in the organization close to 10 years now.
Already. Absolutely. And I got a story to tell. But you want to say one other thing? I got to tell you a story about Lolich.
I was just going to say that fielding is something we've always taken for granted. There are great fielders. But everybody else in the big leagues is okay, can field. We have guys that just can't catch the ball.
Right. They cannot catch the ball.
Or get in position to catch the ball.
And you would think that with all of the logistics and all of the algorithms that they've got and everything else, that somebody would every once in a while get in front of a ball. I mean, nobody ever gets in front of a ball. But let me tell you a real quick story about Mickey Lolich. Mickey Lolich used to have a lot of trouble with the Minnesota Twins. Don't ask me why, because they were one of my favorite clubs. The year I won 30, I beat them 6 times.
Well, maybe because he was a left-hander and they had Killebrew and Bob Allison and a bunch of right-handed sluggers.
Well, believe me, Mickey had better stuff than that. Mickey had the best stuff I ever saw on a continuing basis. Mickey's biggest problem was he used to screw around once in a while. He'd get Harmon Killebrew, no balls and two strikes, and throw him a straight changeup up in his eyes. Now, what's Harmon going to do to a ball up in Harmon's eyes? He's going to hit it as far as he can.
Right,
he did it with the Levy. He did it with a whole bunch of guys. He was always screwing around. Anyway, the one guy he wanted to get out all the time was Cesar Tovar. He could not get Cesar out for the life of him. And so Mickey started throwing at his legs. So now Tovar come up the next ball game, and Mickey's pitching, of course. And the first time up, he hits a single. He steals second base, and then he steals third base, right? So they get out of the inning, and he doesn't score the next run. He could have just stolen home plate. Next time he comes up, two or three innings later, he hits a double, steals third, and the very next pitch, he steals home.
No.
Now, the next time he comes up, Mickey's still pitching, and Mickey throws at his legs again, okay? Doesn't hit him either time. Mickey, Tovar then hits a single, steals second, steals third, waits one more pitch, and steals home again.
I got to look this up. That's eight steals in a game. That's got to be
pretty amazing. It's actually two steals.
That's a really interesting phrase that you used right there, because that leads me to our second Tigers quote of the last week. Joe Jimenez actually had a good game. He actually came in and did the job in relief last Wednesday night. And the headline in the papers the next day was, quote, "Tired of messing around," unquote. Tigers' Joe Jimenez slams the door. Why was the kid messing around to begin with? What does he mean by that? Does he think it's his birthright to pitch in Major League Baseball? Son, you're supposed to be concentrating every moment. Messing around?
What the hell is he talking about?
I'm not sure.
Could you explain that to us? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Joe Jimenez said he was tired of messing around when he came in and did the job.
Well,
that one night.
How do you know what he means by messing around? He probably means pitching poorly.
What do you think that means? He means he concentrated,
no.
He bore down, and he did his job instead of just messing around out on the mound. That's obviously what it means.
I don't think you want to take a native Spanish Latin speaker and
they got interpreters.
Anyway, I just picked up my new Lincoln Nautilus at the Hoot McInnes Star Lincoln a couple of weeks ago. Love that car. Now, Hoot, I loved Hoot, too. I met him back in the 70s. He was all over the Detroit sports scene. He had flair, rubbed shoulders with CEOs, Detroit sports legend. I've told the story about giving Pope John the Lincoln Town car. But Hoot's family carries on with the jewel of the dealerships of Star Lincoln that embodies the McInerney brand, luxury cars, gorgeous showroom, immaculate service area, and the best lease prices in the market. With the effortless ownership experience, you can even order Nautilus or any Lincoln online at starlincoln.com. Just roll in the star and pick it up. And this month, they're debuting the new Corsair, another amazing, amazingly beautiful SUV. Visit Star, you can also, like I say, go online for the effortless ownership experience. Jim, Hoot's son, his grandson Ryan, manager Tim will take care of you, because it's the Star treatment. Has never been better. Hoot McInerney's Star Lincoln at 12 and Telegraph in Southfield. And after pitching 661 innings, Luke Nowacki did this. He added it up, and you won 55 games in back-to-back Cy Young winning seasons. But Denny thought he'd be pitching for the next 15 years. However, his arm was pretty much gone by then. So are you prepared if you're confronted with a sudden life change? There's what you do. You call Luke Nowacki at 248-663.
Luke, call me. I need help.
47-643-4748.
That ship sailed a long time ago, pal. You should have thought about that 35, 40 years ago.
Oh, well, but for those of you who aren't 75 and have screwed up your life, at least your finances, you should call Luke and make sure you don't wind up in Denny's position. And how to protect your family when life happens, or talk about your retirement path and whether you're on the right one. Securities Investment Advisory Services offered by Luke through Royal Alliance Associates, member FINRA, SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. is separately owned, and other entities and our marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates.
Look up, Eli.
Denny's okay.
Holding a wad of dough. Looks like Ron Cameron with a huge wad of hundreds. So is that you know what they call a Michigan bankroll? You got 100 on the outside and nothing but singles and fives on the inside.
Well, I got news for you. I don't carry singles and fives.
By the way, you are listening.
Man, I got to take you to dinner. I got to have plenty.
You are listening to the No Filter Sports Podcast. All right.
Mize.
You want to talk? Oh, we didn't get.
We're going to talk about Casey Mize.
Go ahead. Yeah, he's.
They say he's avoided a serious injury. I don't know how they can determine that other than taking a couple of X-rays.
By the way, just let me say before you go, he is the Tigers' number one pitching prospect, the number one choice in the draft last year, who has been amazing at in A-ball and double A-ball with like an 0.69 ERA. Go ahead.
Well, what I don't understand is he's only pitched 100 innings this year, a little more than 100 innings, and he's got a sore arm already, and he's really not in baseball yet. I mean, he just happens to wear a uniform over an Erie right now.
Remember, Denny, after they drafted him and signed him last year, they decided to hold him out for the rest of the season.
See, that's
because they didn't want any wear and tear on his arm.
Exactly, and that's what they were talking about in this article. What I don't understand is you got to let these kids pitch. They got to build themselves up. They got to have some strength. And there's two things when you get an inflamed arm. Number one, the most important thing, throw as much heat on that arm as you can for the first couple of days after you think you hurt it. Throw it, and that'll take care of a blood flow that will take care of some of the inflammation. When we pitched, we ran as much hot water as we could on our shoulders to keep the inflammation down, and it worked. It worked a lot. A lot of guys play baseball for a long time. The other thing is, something I don't prescribe to right now, I do during the winter, is what he should do is talk to some guys who have played the game, who had some success, and talk to them about what they did during the winter to keep themselves healthy. And I'm going to give you the best, and a lot of people don't want to hear
the
this.
Bowling.
And I'm not talking about 5 lines a day or 20 lines a day, because you can certainly afford 50 or 100 lines a day. Bowl 50 lines a day.
Wait a minute,
75
that's 50
lines
games?
A day. 50 games a day.
That's 10 hours of bowling.
It's only 20 balls a game. So you go out there. We used to bowl 75 to 100 lines a day. And you know what? I won 55 games
I'm not saying it's a great solution. But sports science has come a lot further than just go bowl to stay in shape. Trust me, there are more scientific, proven
methods. Guys, you can laugh your ass off. It worked. It worked. That's all I can tell you. And just
here's
like Kaline said, Kaline said to me that year after I'd won 24 in the Cy Young the second time in a row, he said, whatever you did the last two winters, you do this again. Well, we got so busy with the music and everything else, I couldn't do it. So then we go back out, and I wound up in some trouble anyway, didn't get a chance to go to spring training. And the most important thing in my career was spring training every year, because it was a way that we went through spring training. But the bottom line is, if you can't get all of that into an encapsulate everything, you're not going to get off to a good start anyway. But
let me finish.
This kid's got a chance with all of the professionals around him to be a real good player. He's only given up, I think, one run since he's joined the organization, which means he's not in the right place. He should be at least in AAA right now and find out what he's got. Well, now he's hurt, right? Now they may not pitch him. They'll let him throw the rest of the year, but they probably may not even let him pitch another inning or two. And that's a mortal sin, Chris Illich. This kid should be pitching every fifth or sixth day religiously. And don't treat him like Cy Young, guys. We've seen a lot of Cy Youngs come through here the last 10 years, haven't we?
Yeah.
May not be Cy Young.
Is your point that since it's inflammation, it isn't career ending and he should pitch through it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, who knows? A couple things.
Start bowling.
First of all, somebody used the analogy in the papers of Stephen Strasburg.
Right.
Same thing happened to Strasburg. It was throwing 102, 103 when the Nationals drafted him. And then they thought he'd recovered from this, the same thing that Casey Mize has now. They threw him out next year, and he immediately blew his elbow out and had to have Tommy John surgery.
A separate injury.
I understand, but Strasburg has come back. He's not what he would have been or could have been, I don't think. So who knows what's going to happen to Casey Mize. Now, the other thing that I understand, as I was trying to say, you know, I'm a big golf fan because the courses are so beautiful. You go all over the world. Everyone is different. Denny, every goddamn bowling alley looks the same. Is that really that fascinating? Is it really fascinating?
Bowling?
Yeah,
it is. It really is.
The same ball down the same wood surface.
You know, this city.
10 hours of bowling.
This city in Chicago used to be the capital of bowling. It may be for all I know.
Detroit, St. Louis.
Detroit, St. Louis, Chicago. These were the capitals. They were fun. People bowled every day, every night. It's a great way to exercise. Honest to God.
And they had no idea.
Oh, it's exercise.
And I had no idea what good it was doing for me.
That's the best cure for a sore arm is to just go Ball.
Oh.
How about speaking of basketball and LeVar Ball? I tell you, this is just too funny. It's a great trade, big trade that helped the Pelicans and helped the Lakers. You know, Rich Paul, by the way, if you get Sports
Illustrated. Wait. You say it's a great trade. You say it helped the Lakers and the Pelicans.
Well,
the Pelicans robbed these guys blind.
They did.
Continues to say he's leaving after 1 year to test free agency. The Lakers gave up, except for LeBron, half their franchise to get a guy for 1 year.
The Lakers got what they wanted.
They traded Lonzo Ball, the number two pick in 2017, Brandon Ingram, the number four pick in 2016. That's Josh Hart, also in the first round by Utah. That's three first-round choices and three more first-round choices, including number four this year, all for one player who maybe who orchestrated the trade.
And I do have something to say in the Lakers.
Let me finish. Rich Paul, who's on the cover of Sports Illustrated this week, is the agent for LeBron and Anthony Davis and pulled that off. And by the way, Magic, who was in all kinds of a snit with the Lakers before he quit the other day, praised Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss and the Lakers for pulling off this deal.
Shameless. He's trying to repair the feud with Rob Pelinka, and he didn't have to do that. They mortgaged their future, and fellas, I know you guys both know this. It's one of life's greatest truisms. When you marry a girl, you marry her mother, too. You want this guy Lonzo Ball, who's a hell of a player on your team. Yes. You just married that guy's creepy jerk-off father.
I know.
You want that guy hanging around every game, every practice, putting these ideas in his son's head.
So LeVar Ball, right, father of Lonzo, at least the Lakers are done with that lunatic. But LeVar, yes, the idiot father, they won't have to deal with him complaining, campaigning even, for his other two sons, LaMelo and LiAngelo, to join Lonzo. After all, check this out. According to LeVar, the Lakers are now dead without the Ball brothers.
Like I say again, it'll be the worst move the Lakers ever did in their life, and they'll never win another championship. Guaranteed. I told y'all it was crashing down. Now it completely crashed, but at least my son got off the boat before the thing exploded. I gave him a chance. You can rewind it and go back. And I said, if you get the three Ball brothers, you're going to survive this. You let them go, boy, it's going to be a cold day in hell.
Listen, one other thing, too, is I know they wanted Davis in the worst way, and there's one of the bigger reasons why they wanted Davis. Jeannie Buss was getting her butt kicked. I mean, all of a sudden, Jeannie Buss had become a partial enemy of the media, of the city, of the marketplace, and she needed to do something that was major league. Going and getting Davis was the answer, and everybody loves her again. But, boy, they were on. I was reading that story for the last month and a half.
Bob,
it was terrible.
Not only can Davis leave after next year, but LeBron's already 34.
Yeah.
Now you got an aging LeBron who had his worst season, although I'm sure that.
All I got to say about Jeannie Buss is we all saw that nude Playboy layout she did years ago, and she's got quite a butt to kick, Denny.
I didn't see that.
I think it's still in pretty good
shape. I never saw it, Bob, but that wasn't the reason we brought Jeannie up.
Can you forward that to me? Anyway, so let's talk about two other teams.
At least we know where Zion Williamson is going now.
He's going to the Pelicans.
Yeah, what a great city that is. Yeah.
And if you're Anthony Davis, don't you say, I'm going to stay here in New Orleans, play with Zion, and we're going to win us a whole bunch of world championships.
Yeah. Well, I think he wanted to go to L.A., and that's where he's going. Anyway, so this is very interesting, the Kevin Durant situation.
Yep.
So Durant now is a torn Achilles, which will be at least 6 to 8 months. He has a $31 million player option for the Warriors next year. And the Warriors still intend to offer him a max contract. Now tell me if this wouldn't be a crappy thing to do for him to take the 1 year option, get rehabbed, and then leave them. In other words, have them pay you to rehab and then leave the Warriors after next year, which he can do. If he has any character, I think, and I believe he does, he would either take the 5 year deal if they're going to pay you for next year to rehab and stay with them. Don't take it for the 1 year option bolt on the Warriors.
And we've discussed this before, and here's Nathan L., who's a friend of the show, and he tweets about this. He ripped up his Achilles last year playing basketball. And he's not the same. He's a young man. He's not the same. And the doctors have said that this is a two-year deal for him. Yep. So you think it's going to be that for Durant. And he says, and I agree, I feel KD will never be the same player
Me
again.
Me too. Me too. There's nothing tougher, no tougher injury in the world than Achilles tendon. Nothing, because everything becomes susceptible because you start favoring other parts of your body.
Yep.
That's the big threat once you do the Achilles. And who's, by the way, he's got to sign that contract. You know why? Who the hell's going to take him?
Yeah, right after right. So he should take the max contract, which would be a huge because he'll be 31 in September. If he takes the 5-year deal, that'll be until he's 36. Very, very risky for the Warriors. And of course, as
you said last show, Eli, and this is so germane to this, Isaiah ripped up his Achilles and thought, instead of this rehab, the stuff I got to do, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And Isaiah Thomas retired. You wonder if Durant won't have to do the same thing.
And Greg Kelcer tore his Achilles, came back, tore the other Achilles, which could be a result, as you suggested, Denny, of adjusting the way you're favoring it and all that. So,
and I found another statistic really funny. And is, you guys agree with this? On an average, a post-Achilles player misses 10 games a year after he returns to action. That's hard to believe that he only misses 10 games, isn't it?
Well, you know, now, in fairness, who's the center's name? Boogie Cousins.
Yeah, Boogie Cousins.
Tore his Achilles a few years ago, and he's back. So he was back this year after the Achilles injury last year. So
now I got something to say about the NBA Finals and Toronto, which, look, they did a fantastic job of winning. Congratulations to them. But I want to mention, I want to use this analogy, guys. Do you know that the 1927 New York Yankees won 144-10, murderers row, the whole thing? Then they get into the World Series. Pittsburgh Pirates team, managed by the one-time Tigers shortstop, Donnie Bush, featuring Pie Trainer, Kiki Kyler, and the Waiter Brothers, Big Poison and Little Poison, and they swept them 4 straight, too. That was the first American League team to sweep a World Series versus the National League. Now, what if Ruth and Gehrig had missed that World Series? You think it would have been the same?
Right.
So Toronto's victory, to me, is a little tainted. If Klay Thompson even can come back and play that game the other night, Golden State's going to win and force Game 7 in Toronto.
Yeah, well, and like I said, I mentioned last time also, the Pistons felt in 89 that they were slighted because Magic got hurt in the finals and they swept them. They affirmed it the next year by beating Portland in the finals. You know, the Raptors, though, you got to give this guy credit. Masai Ujiri is their general manager, and he made incredibly gutsy decisions before this year. He fired Dwayne Casey, our Pistons coach, 4 days after he won Coach of the Year. He traded DeMar Rosen, who with Lowry in the backcourt were a terrific tandem. He traded him to get and also a number one, a first-round pick, and a former first-round pick in Jacob Poeltl. So he gave up a lot to get him, and he may leave after next year. And then in February this year, he traded two core players, DeLon Wright and Jonas Valanciunas, for 34-year-old Marc Gasol. So very gutsy moves. And did you also see what happened? As he went to go on the floor after the Raptors won, he got into a fight with a security guard because he didn't have his credential on, and he may get prosecuted by the Alameda County Police Department.
I understand he punched the guy, which is a really low-rent thing to do. Now, you understand, and all three of us have been stopped by security guards and going somewhere, got to show them a press pass or whatever it is. That guy is trying to do his job. He didn't recognize the GM of the franchise. All he had to do was say, I'm the GM, and show him where somebody else got. It was totally unwarranted. Right. And you wonder about the mental stability of a guy who would punch a security guard like that.
Crazy.
And
he
was arrested, as you said.
Right. And the rent-a-cop was just doing his job. He's told,
yes,
don't let anybody on the floor without.
And making $8 or $10 an hour.
I understand that. Absolutely so. But, you know.
I was going to say one other thing about this. Did you guys notice during the game when they fonted that graphic? Said Steph Curry, 0-for-7 on shots to take the lead inside 20 seconds of a playoff game. Guess what? He's now 0-for-8. and you look at what a great player Curry has been and the greatest shooter clearly has ever lived, but he's 0 for 8 when the chips were down like that. And I wonder if they're not going to start really talking about this and maybe besmirch
his memory.
You're
not criticizing Curry, are you?
No, yeah. I certainly am.
Oh,
you
got
to make
God,
those
God.
Shots, son. You're getting paid
listen,
to make those
shots.
He's
made so many shots. I mean, it's probably tough to –
these are the playoffs we're talking about now.
I understand
now.
That. He's won so many ball games. I mean, come on, Bob.
One last note on the Raptors. They lost the first game of the playoffs to Orlando, the eighth seed, and they were worried. That's when Nick Nurse went on a rave. They went and swept that. And if Kawhi Leonard's shot doesn't drop against Philadelphia, the 76ers go to the finals, and they would be the world champion. So it just goes to show how close things go and make the difference between winning a championship and not, how difficult it is and why it's so hard to repeat, because so many things have to fall into
place.
Well,
what someone once said, what goes up comes down.
Yeah. Anyway, we have
how
more.
How about
no,
our favorite
yet, not
player?
Not yet, not yet, not yet. We have more to do. So those of you on the podcast will hear. At this point, we have to bow out for those on radio. So thank you for listening to the No Filter Sports
great
podcast.
Day.
And if you tuned in late, people on the radio, this is a podcast. Go online. You can hear the entire show.
Good point. Okay, now let's get into
OJ.
Oh, my God. You know, it was 25 years ago. This is June 17th. This was the day of the chase.
Well, this wasn't only the day of the chase. You and I were doing an Eli and Denny show. We had just taped our show on Friday night, and we were both driving home. And as we made our way home, we heard it on the radio on WWJ, I think it was.
Did we come back.
Everybody in the world was playing this thing, and by the time we got home, they were still running the race, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they were still following him to his house. I mean, it was unbelievable. So OJ has popped off already. He's got a Twitter account. He says, now I want everybody to understand
Time out, Denny. Let's hear what he said. And
okay,
then
go ahead.
Here's what OJ had to say when he announced that he's on Twitter. And by the way, he's got 400,000 followers already after the day. Here's his announcement.
Hey, Twitter world, this is yours truly. Now, coming soon to Twitter, you'll get to read all my thoughts and opinions on just about everything. Now, there's a lot of fake OJ accounts out there. So this one, at the real OJ32, is the only official one. So this should be a lot of fun. I got a little getting even to do. So God bless. Take care.
So there he is. He's got, what did he say? We got some making. Oh, I got a little getting even to do.
I got
to
get a little even.
But here's my favorite, okay? My family and I have moved on to what we call the no negative zone.
Yeah,
only
we talked about
but,
this.
Yeah, however, excuse me, the family minus the mom that you brutally murdered. So when you talk about my family, let's talk about who's not there from the family
Are you one of those people who thinks OJ is guilty? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, they haven't found the Columbia.
OJ was actually guilty?
They haven't found
when is the last time you found out that he had his investigation going on? Did he catch anybody?
Yeah. And by the way, you mentioned – thank you for bringing it up about the 400,000 followers, because I meant to check that. I was curious. Those are the same 400,000 morons who, after he murdered two people in cold blood and got away with that, dogged him everywhere. They wanted his autograph. OJ would show up any place. Oh, OJ, could you sign this for me? Can you sign this for me, please? Those are the idiots who just want to be next to or near anybody who's famous.
Well, there's two things that are going to happen as far as the OJ and card shows and what have you. Number one, he's going to get an awful lot of requests to do private signings because he really doesn't want to go out. But on the other hand, there's going to be guys who can make $1 zillion by bringing him in publicly. So I want to see which one comes first.
That's been available for a while. He's been out of jail for a while. So he's doing that.
Oh, he's doing some private shows.
He's signing his ass off.
But he's not signing publicly. Everything's been a private signing. So now we'll see. Now that he thinks he's got a Twitter account, is this his badge to, man, I'm back. Let me go run the end run again or what have they. I mean, he's a murderer. He's a killer.
You know what I might do in this circumstance? If you look at how Fred Goldman's life was utterly shattered by this creep and his family's lives
creep's
were shattered
nice
too.
Word,
Fred is not a young man. His life basically is coming to an end here. I might think seriously about finding somebody who can do what needs to be done and taking that punk out on a contract.
Oh, be nice. Come on.
Oh, yeah, I'll be nice to OJ.
But let's not. But wait a minute. No. Let's not promote murder.
I'm not saying – you're right. But he doesn't deserve to live. You're right. We're not going to promote murder. He doesn't deserve to live.
I mean, Bob, let's not promote murder because you know that what? Every once in a while, there's somebody out there that, you know, how many shootings do we have to see?
I said if I were Fred Goldman, I'd, I'm not trying to promote that part.
No,
because
so let's
imagine if something like that were to happen to us, what we might think of doing, or any other man out there, or any other person out there, what we might think of doing. It's just, and the thing about O.J. that bugs me as much as the deed itself and the fact that he was somehow exonerated is that if you were this lucky,
he wasn't exonerated. He was found not guilty. Right, Big difference.
Exonerated of any crimes. That's right. So the idea is, if that happens to you, wouldn't you want to go buy, you know, a cabin in the wilds of northern Minnesota? Don't say anything else. Just go live the rest of your life and be thankful. It's like he's rubbing it in their face.
He's a sociopath. He's probably in his own mind, doesn't think he did it anymore.
He doesn't. I mean, when you see even this little thing he did on Twitter, it's like it never happened.
Right.
I mean, you sit there and I played it back two or three times. He's actually saying, you know, under the table a little bit, I didn't do this.
Well, he's saying, I got to get back at the people that accuse me of doing this.
I got to get even.
I got some getting even to do.
And what does that mean? He's going to kill some more people?
Who knows?
It's awful.
onward and upward. How about the University of Michigan?
Oh, yes.
I agree with you.
They play Monday night. Yeah.
And justice Eric Beck was done. They beat Texas Tech, the team that eliminated both Michigan and Michigan State from the NCAA basketball tournament. Great pitching they had. And I'll tell you, this one kid, the starter was tremendous too. But Jeff Criswell, he's a starter for Michigan, but they brought him in relief. He's the real deal. He's going to be playing for a lot of money someday soon, and he's only a sophomore at Michigan. Now they play Florida State on Monday night, as we record this Monday morning. And that's a Cinderella team as well, with a coach and Mike Martin, who's only been head coach there, 45 years, and is retiring after this season, has influenced so many other college baseball coaches, including Michigan's Eric Backich. I watched the entire game on Saturday, and it was fun. Yeah. I'll just say this. If you're used to watching, as we all are, Major League Baseball, the quality of play isn't even as good as Class A minor leagues, because most of these kids are never, ever going to see the light of day in pro baseball. You're seeing a lot of plays that should have been made, but that weren't made. But if you can
The game at that level is all pitching. For the most part, it's all pitching. So you're not going to see great plays and what have you, because the pitchers really do overwhelm the game, especially at this level, by the way. You know, we got teams now playing in nearby to the championship round now. I mean, they're there now. They got a chance of winning the whole thing. So the talent's going to be a little bit elevated.
You know, there's this new move on another subject if we can. There's this new these two sports streaming things. One's called DAZN. I'm not sure what it stands for. There's ESPN Plus. I thought about buying ESPN Plus. It's $4.99 a month because the heavyweight championship fight, Tyson Fury versus a guy named Tom Schwarz from Germany, was on the other night from Vegas. But I didn't. But this is like the Netflix of sports. This is where ESPN is trying to go. So there are now two heavyweight champions, and this is interesting. He's called the lineal champion. The lineal champion is somebody who's unrecognized by the various bodies. He's like he was the champ, but it was taken away from him because he didn't fight against the number one contender, and he also lost a couple of years due to depression and alcoholism. So he was the champion, but then others move in and take his place. So he's going to fight Deontay Wilder, who's 41. And actually, the heavyweight championship situation is pretty interesting. There's also the third champ is the Andy Ruiz, who just knocked out Anthony. Yeah. So there's three heavyweight champions. They're all pretty exciting, and it's too bad it isn't on regular television.
It's nice that we've got some excitement back in the heavyweight.
Yeah,
I mean, we haven't had any heavyweight action in how many years, Bob? 15, 20 years, right?
Yeah. I'll just say this. It's not just the heavyweight division, and you think it's exciting. I don't particularly anymore, but I don't know if you know this, Denny, but
like
Eli and I were with Emmanuel Stewart from day one. When he was an electrician with the city of Detroit, he would come to our Detroit sports broadcasters weekly luncheons, and he would ask us if we would please interview him. He had a fighter he wanted to promote or whatever. And then, of course, we were with Tommy Hearns
from day one. He had two fighters. He came with Tommy Hearns, the tall, skinny kid that did not look like a boxer. And he had Mickey Goodwin, who looked like a boxer, but wasn't a very good boxer. The late Mickey Goodwin, I should say. Great kid. So,
So Sunday night, I'm watching the U.S. Open, obviously, and they have a big ad that comes on screen for the welterweight championship of the world. I guess it's going to be on Fox. I'd never heard of either of these guys. You go back to our era when it was Tommy Hearns and Sugar Ray Leonard
and
it was
Roberto Duran and Pepe.
There were so many great welterweights and so many Alexis Arguello and Aaron Pryor, the lower weight classifications. Now it's a welterweight championship of the world. I've never even heard of them.
Well, because anybody with a name is on pay per view. So boxing is a cult.
Yeah, this was too.
I'm going to explain to you how it works. Boxing is a cult. 500,000 to 1 million people are boxing fans that will pay $50 to $100 to see a fight on pay-per-view. The only guys on regular TV are the lesser lights that can't draw the big crowds that are working their way up. So that's the shame of it, because if it was on network television, then we'd know who Tyson Fury was. We'd know who Deontay Wilder was. We would have seen the Andy Ruiz fight. So that's one of the problems boxing has. They'd rather get the $100 from the small cult. But this is interesting now, because these sports streaming services, DAZN, and D-A-Z-N and ESPN Plus, is the new wave. We're going to wind up paying for a lot of sports now.
And I'm confused.
That we got a network television for free.
I'll tell you why I'm confused, because with all the social media we have in this world, they don't promote well enough the players that are boxing now. It looks like we promoted a long time ago Tommy Hearns and that crew much better than we promote the guys
because
today.
Because Tommy Hearns was on national television when he won the title. It was on CBS Sports.
That was it?
Yes. Now, there were some pay-per-view fights, no doubt. But there were also network television fights. You could see Sugar Ray Leonard. You could see Duran. And so they had some exposure. That's all gone. But boxing.
It's amazing. Because, with social media, you think you could crown somebody the king on a Monday and he can go fight Friday.
I call up Tommy Hearns one day, right?
Nice
Tommy
man.
Fancies himself not only a great boxer, he actually thinks he's a great basketball player. I said, you think you're that good? Let's go play. I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to meet at the University of Detroit, and we're going to play against some of the UAD women. He said, yeah, we're going to play with the girls, Bob. I said, yeah, we are. We get on the court. I said to Tommy, I want you to listen to me. If you don't play any defense against these girls, they will shoot your eyes out. And he didn't, and they did, and we lost. And he comes back the next day, Bob, when are we going to play with the girls again? I said, didn't you embarrass yourself enough? I hear bad things about the way Tommy's feeling, the way he looks these days. And I like Tommy very much. I'm sorry to hear this. Pugilistic dementia.
Yeah, I believe there was some of that.
It'd
there.
Be awful. But you know what? The nature of the sport
took a lot of punishment, man. Yeah, and
he sure did.
He certainly represented Detroit very, very well.
He sure did.
His fights with Hagler and Duran, and when he won the title from Pepino Cuevas at Cobo Arena, was a very big day. August 2nd, I remember it, 1980, a very exciting day.
And I'll tell you one thing about Tommy and a lot of the guys who lived here. They always had a word for you. They always had time for you. They never, ever ran away from a microphone. They never ran away from saying hi.
And by the way,
group of guys.
As Bob mentioned earlier, when we helped Emanuel Stewart, I was on JZZ at the time and covered boxing a lot, and I really think it helped. We both covered him as well as we could. And Emanuel said to me back then, he said, you know, you've been so good to us. Whatever you need, you just let me know. And if there was a fight and I called him and said, Emanuel, I'm going to be in Las Vegas, I'm going to be here, he would always take care of me, always leave me.
I had him on the radio show in the morning, I'll bet 100 times. He was a great guest.
He said that to me one time, too. So I'm not going to take anything from him. But I said, you know what we're going to do? When I was on WJZZ following you, I said, I want a promo from Tommy. I wrote 15 seconds of copy. Hi, fans. This is Tommy Hearns, and I listen to Bob Page's Detroit sports scene all the time. He took 20 takes and he couldn't read 15 seconds of copy. And finally, Prentice Bird, Emmanuel's longtime assistant, said, Bob, we'll do it another time. I said, yeah, that's what we'll do. We'll do it another time.
Well, now, in fairness, okay, some guys can ad lib and some guys can't read.
This was written out.
Okay, well, let me tell you something. I was given a promo to bring to Arnold Palmer at the Buick Open around 1980.
What time of day?
I don't know, noon. Noon.
Because it's got a lot to do with the hour of noon.
But I gave him something to read. I gave him something to read. He couldn't read it. He said, I'll just ad lib. He was perfectly ad lib.
Believe me, he could read.
By the way,
at 12 o'clock, he'd like that screwdriver.
I am headed to Warwick Hills now because that's where the Tiger alumni golf outing will be taking
place. And tell him I didn't get my invitation.
Yeah, they don't invite you for some
reason. Hey, Eli, when you get out there, do me a favor when you get out there, make sure you tell Mickey that Denny says hello, okay?
I always do, by the way. I always say hello, Mickey. Always.
Mickey.
Does he say hello back?
No. That's,
I didn't think
and
so.
Even at the celebration, I said, Mickey, how the hell are you? I hear you're having a couple of problems. He's, yeah, at this old age stuff. I said, well, it's good to see you. It's really good to see you. Never said a word.
We're running long, I know. Quick promo for
That's
the next
okay.
show. We've got a lot of comments on our Dave Dial stories, our Al Ackerman stories. I want to tell on the next show.
I'm going to.
I want to tell some Van Patrick stories. So be thinking about that. And for you younger people who, again, don't know who he was, one of the greatest ever
Wait a
of
minute.
All time.
Now, Van Patrick was old when I came in.
Yes,
so,
he was.
So anybody's got to be.
He never got old, Eli. He never got old. He died in his 50s of stomach cancer. I don't think he was even 60.
Oh, okay. But he was near the end of his career.
Yeah, I barely remember him.
Yeah.
I mean, I barely remember him. But, you know, I got some Al Ackerman stories, too. I know somebody.
I got a request
somebody
for that
wanted to talk too. About that. Yeah.
You weren't a big. Now, I was a big fan of Al until I replaced him on the 11 o'clock news in 84. And
bad man.
I wasn't a big fan of him after that. Yeah. But anyway, thanks for listening to No Filter Sports. We will be recording again this Thursday, June something or other, so we will see you then.
Have a good one.
Thanks, everybody.